SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website too, stevebick.com. Last night again, after we got off the air, the Lazy Susan of jockey assignments, it started to spin, and it started, of course, with Mike Smith's confirmation, let's call it, to ride Omaha Beach in the Derby, and that I don't think it's a surprise, and that set off a series of decisions, at least two that we know of, and we're waiting for others, and others include Cutting Humor, Todd Pletcher, Country House, Bill Mott, Gray Magician, Peter Miller, because Roadster, literally minutes after the Omaha Beach news, goes to Florent Giroux, which is an interesting decision. You know, given Giroux's Euro style, not that he's not effective on a pace type, but given the way Mike Smith took Roadster back off the pace in the Santa Anita Derby. And Florent Giroux, I thought Giroux or Pratt. And knowing that Derek Lawson is trying to land a advantageous or a workable spot, they're running out of racetrack, as the saying goes. So Florent Giroux, Doug Bradar, his agent, gets Roadster. And then a little bit later, Manny Franco. And in fact, excited tomorrow, Manny riding Carlisle Bell for us, for DT, in the fourth race at Aqueduct tomorrow. Manny will ride Spinoff for Todd Pletcher. So 17 of 20 prospective Derby starters now with an assigned rider. And we'll wait for further news. And I imagine that Todd Pletcher will keep Cutting Humor open a little bit. And that is sort of his, I mentioned this yesterday, that's sort of the Pletcher approach, because if anything should go awry with Code of Honor, he would get Johnny. Johnny V would be available if that went in that direction. And who else have they been using of late? Castellano, of course, but how about Luis Saez, right? Luis Saez, another type that, you know, rode quite a bit over the winter for Todd. So Louis with maximum security right now, just in case, right? In case something was to go sideways. We'll see. I mean, maybe Cutting Humor lands a rider, you know, within minutes here. Country House, you would think, would fit Flavian Pratt, right? Off the pace. And Gray Magician, Gray Magician with Peter Miller, and I wonder if part, you know, there'd been some nattering that the Gray Magician might have somebody buy in, so that might be playing into that delay, the naming of a rider. So anyway, we're getting close, and in fact, I saw that David Aragona from Timeform US, David sent out the initial time form pace projector. So you can start to zero in a little bit, trying to get a handle on how the pace might set up. And looking at it, it's funny, no matter how many times we look at Derby early on and say, well, where's the pace going to come from? The pace projector always shows it is fast, just because there's so many horses, and any time you get, a few pressers, you're guaranteed that the pace is going to get prompted. And the pace projector from Timeform shows Omaha Beach and Vekoma right up on the lead, with Improbable Roadster and Spinoff behind them, and then Grey Magician, Tax, War of Will, the next set of pressers, ahead of Long Range Toddy, Maximum Security, and Tacitus. So that's a little bit more than half the field. And Maximum Security, it's hard to not expect Maximum Security to be more forward than the projector, but the projector can only do what the horse did in its starts. And since Maximum Security only went 49 for the half, it is showing him as being a little further back than he probably will be. So some of this you adjust, and then you also will adjust it once we know where they're going to line up in the gate. But it is helpful to look at this and to get a feel for, particularly the horses that are going to come from off the pace, and figuring out how many they're going to have to pass. And the back of the pack, Country House and Win 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 and Heichel, no surprise there, really, the back markers. And then some of the mid-pack, off the pace, just off the pace types, Code of Honor, Cutting Humor, Plus Que Parfait. And interestingly, it's got Game Winner well back in the pace projector. And By My Standards as well. So the back, and we'll do this, of course, with Nick Tamaro. Nick and I, we do it for Breeders' Cup, but also for Derby. It's been very valuable the last few years when we do our pace quadrants. We try to break out sets of four and or five, and where the horses are going to line up the opening stages, past the stands the first time, and onto the backstretch. And it goes a long way to figuring out how the race unfolds. So people, I can tell people are already really have really started to dive in and trying to decipher what is being considered, the most, I don't want to say confusing, because I don't think it's a confusing Derby lead in. I can tell people that if you want to use, if you're a Thoroughgraph user and you appreciate Jerry Brown's work and Alan and the team, there is a pre-entry package that went up last night of the Derby and Oaks horses. Gave you 26, the 26 point horses for Derby and 20 of the Oaks fillies. And from every measurable standpoint, when it comes to the speed measurements and figs, I don't think it's all that murky. I think it's pretty clear that Omaha Beach and the Baffert horses and Tacitus and Maximum Security, those those six are the fastest. If you're a speed handicapper, it's pretty clear. And honestly, it does feel like your winner is somewhere in that sextet. I also see the exercise that a lot of are doing. Ed DeRose has done it, and I'm sure we'll talk about it this week with Ed. And others are, you know, John White. We have John White do a morning line, which John will discuss on Monday. There's a pretty clear pattern that's being established with Omaha Beach, widely assumed as your favorite in the 4-1 range. Game winner, Maximum Security, Tacitus, those three somewhere between what? 5-1 and 8-1. Roadster in that group probably. 7-10-1. Improbable, 10-12-1, right? Vekoma, 15-1, in that range. You know, then a lot of the, some of the horses that may not have won, but, you know, ran okay and came away with something, horses like Tax and By My Standards out of Louisiana Derby, win running up in the bluegrass in the 20s, right? The low 20s. War of Will is the mystery horse, of course. And if you didn't see the work from the other day, War of Will worked an official 59-second bullet for 5/8, but that was the first half of the of the work. that was a little bit more than half the work, because he kept going and going. And in fact, Tyler Gaffleone, you know, only started to really lean forward on him and ask him to run late, coming to the wire. And really, after the wire, he after he'd already gone 59 seconds, then he, you know, really stayed on. And essentially, it was a mile work. It was published as 5/8, but I mean, he worked a mile and kept galloping out. And so, I mean, any concern that he's not right, you can dismiss that. The different question is, can you use him coming off that performance at Fairgrounds? That's going to be such a tough question. And as John White discussed on Monday last, you know, you're going to get 20 something. You're going to get every bit of 20 something to one on War of Will. So continuing through that list, how about, you know, both of the Pletchers, the Sunland Derby winner, Cutting Humor, Waiting for a Rider, Spin Off with Manny. They'll be in the 20s, the high 20s. Long Range Toddy, is going to be kind of dirtied up after the Arkansas Derby in the 30s. Country House, probably in the 30s. Heichel. Then the two Dubai runners, Pluska Parfait and Grey Magician, in the upper stratosphere, price-wise. And the Japanese runner, Master Fencer, who won't necessarily be the longest shot on the board, but probably should be. No disrespect, but I'm sorry. What are you supposed to say about Master Fencer? The international path has not been. Has really not worked out well thus far. I'm sure at some point we'll all be licking wounds when an international runner manages to pull it together. But there you go. So there's a little bit of a glance toward the strata when it comes to the morning line and the potential way the betting unfolds. We're going to talk with Sid, top of hour two, of course, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, and we'll go over the weekend. And also, I did the exercise of notating the sires of this Derby field, the way it unfolded and came together. And again, assuming everybody goes postward as is, and that's a big if. But even if there are some substitutions, even if a horse or two has a hiccup between now and Derby, it does seem like you're going to have as many, well, you could have as many, I suppose, as 20 different sires. But right now, you've got two war fronts and two candy rides. And then everybody else has got a standalone sire. And it's a pretty fascinating list, including some oddities or some offbeat stallions, and that's not unusual. But you know, how about having you know, Code of Honor, Noble Mission, Heichel, Daher, Win Win Win, Hat Trick, Gray Magician, Great R, First Samurai with Cutting Humor. If Signalman should somehow work his way into the field, General Quarters. So the two tap, there's actually technically two Tappets on the list, Tacitus and Bourbon War, but Tappet with one, and he's still looking for his Derby winner. The two War Fronts, which is a storyline, War of Will and Omaha Beach, the two Candy Rides, Game Winner, and Vekoma. Point of Entry, we should point out again, Pliska Parfait. It's a nice accomplishment for Point of Entry. And as Sid has taught many, you know, many of our conversations, you know, turf equates to stamina. By my standards, Golden Sense. You know, Golden Sense taking on that role of a middle distance speed stallion. And of course that was the thinking going into a lot of derbies with young sires. Distorted Humor and Funny Side. Elusive Quality, another like that. So by my standards. And by the way, I talked about War of Will's work. Did you see By My Standards work? Was that Sunday? Oh my God. He looked fabulous. That's a horse that's just absolutely thriving. I mean, he's going to have to improve to contend. That's pretty clear. He's got to take another step forward, and he's also got the giving away the recency edge, coming out of the Louisiana Derby, so, you know, the 6 weeks. But Brett Calhoun seems to have him just absolutely tuned up beautifully. So that's a little bit of the Derby report and the horses settling in, the ones that have already made it. And it feels like, you know, we'll be there starting Saturday morning. We'll leave Friday from here after the show. After weekend preview, and it's going to be a nice weekend preview too, because it's the start of the match series. We'll be waiting and watching today for the draw at Laurel, in addition to the match series races at Laurel this weekend. You've also got the Tessio, and the Tessio looks to have 6, 7, 8 at least. Well, actually, I've got 7 on the list. Won't be surprised if another couple jump in, but the Tessio will win and you're in for the Preakness, and Kelly Rubley with Always Mining, who will be the obvious horse to beat in the Tessio. So we'll watch for, you know, not just the match series races, and of course the match series going to be one of the sponsors for the Triple Crown broadcast trail. And It's hard to believe that we'll be at Churchill already on. I know it just makes me. It's such a funny thing how you get to the start of the year and you look up and it's Derby. So we'll get rolling. A couple of news stories before we head to the break. And Wesley Ward's going to visit. We're going to get a visit in with Wesley and talk about his two-year-olds. A couple of things that have already happened for Wesley, and that includes that Lady Pauline from opening week at Keeneland, the Lady Aurelia Sib. But he's got his first American Pharoah that's going to run at Aqueduct today. The two-year-old season in New York kicks off. That's the first race today. There's a pair of them, I think. At Keeneland today. I think is there two today, as opposed to one and one. I'm pretty sure there's two today at Keeneland from when I looked. And I'll check while we go to the break. No, that's good. You can go ahead, Joe. That's fine. We can go to the break. No, that was fine. That was fine. Timing was fine. Jolan on the board this morning. Kay dealing with the treatments that he has to endure. And yeah, for those looking for the podcast in the archives, we'll get them out as we can when Kay's up to to doing that work. I appreciate everybody's patience and understanding on that front. The vast majority showing patience on that front. Not everybody. We've got a story brewing, of course, that you may have seen. The headlines, Keeneland, Churchill, and Naira in a conversation about introducing a Lasix restriction starting for two-year-olds next year and then expanding to all stakes for 2021. And we'll wait for that story to reach a critical mass, I suppose. There's a meeting today at 10 at Churchill for the horsemen, and the presumption is that is going to be addressed. And Alan Foreman will join us Friday with his reaction and that of the THA, the Thoroughbred Horsemen Association. Yesterday at Indiana, we got started with our conversation with Bill Downs, and I wanted to play that seventh race, and I bet it's funny. Wagon Boss was 5-1, 9-2, even 6-1, and then by the time the gates opened, he dropped down to 3-1. Ended up going off at less than 3-1, and he was in great position. We did say that Sea Admiral was going to set the pace. It didn't occur to us that nobody was going to go with him. Wagon Boss was in great position, but Sea Admiral kept on going at 17-1. How about that? They had a good day. They had a nice opening day at Indiana, and they bet $1.3 million yesterday. And how about Fairmount? Fairmount opened yesterday. They had a terrific day, 700,000 in handle. And apparently, Marcus Hirsch reported a crowd of 6,000 for opening day in East St. Louis. We'll take a break. Come right back. We're going to talk to Wesley, Pete Fornatel, Sid, Seth, Bill Gallo, much more.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet, and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. We'll have Wesley Ward in about 2 minutes or so. And to fill out the Wednesday get-together, in addition to Wesley, Pete Fornatel will join us after. And Pete, of course, was at Hot Springs this weekend and hanging with Marshall Graham and the 10-strike team. It's so funny. I was having lunch at Cafe 1217, which, by the way, was this trip's revelation at Hot Springs. Absolutely terrific. Out Malvern Avenue for lunch. They're pretty much a lunch place. It's kind of in fact, if it was 1956, Cafe 1217 would be termed a tea room. And it would be on the Village Square. You know, for those that ever traveled the Midwest, you got the Village Square. You typically have a town hall in the square in the center, or at the end of a square, and then you know all kinds of businesses around it, and that's what Cafe 1217 would be, an old fashioned kind of a tea room, and the ladies who lunch, food was fabulous. But anyway, I went, and it turned out I'm sitting there having lunch. This must have been Thursday, and or was Friday. And in comes Marshall Graham. And it turned out that Marshall signed them up, Cafe 1217, to do the catering. for the 10 strike party. And Pete was, he just picked up Pete. So Pete was in the car. So that got that's how I ran it to Pete to start the weekend at Hot Springs. So in addition, Sid Fernando, I told you, Diane Volz is going to join us as well. And Diane, of course, came up last week, the situation involving the MagnaWave treatment and her situation dealing with New York and the veterinarian policy paper or letter that is keeping practitioners like Diane from coming on the racetrack. This is a difficult situation, but I want Diane to explain what it is that she does and has been doing for years and has been doing for some of the top horsemen in the in the game. Lenny Shulman later too, Bill Gallo from Steeplechase and Seth Merrow, and Wesley Ward is with us. Wesley, good morning.
Good morning.
Wesley, it's a big day. New York starts its two-year-olds, and you've got your first American Pharaoh today, and I think you're going to run one of those two.
I am. I'm going to run Tessarina today.
Tessarina under the Ice Wine label, and you bred this filly.
Yeah, she's a nice filly.
She came out of Nonsuch Bay, the nice Mr. Greeley mare. And how many American Pharaohs are under your care?
We've got about six.
What's your early impression? And of course, the first one ran over the weekend in Europe and won at First Asking. So as a stallion, he gets off to a big start. What should people expect, Wesley?
He did it without me, and I was hoping to be the first. Son of a gun, that ain't no fine something, is it? He wins from a quarter of a mile to 3 miles and a quarter, that guy. He's the greatest.
Well, he's getting ready. He's getting ready for Ascot. He's for your invasion.
That's it.
I love it. What are they, what are you seeing from them, from the American Pharaohs that you're working with?
You know, I tell you what, a couple of things. I see that a lot of the Pharaohs follow the mother's traits, you know, and obviously he's going to be bred to great mares, which is a good thing. Doesn't really show anything in particular that are good. The ones I have are very fast. But the most important thing I see from him is all of them can run. Usually you'll get a stallion that, you know, some of them just, they just can't, you know, they don't have a lot of ability. All of his can run. Regardless of who the stallions are bred to, you know, there's been some great racehorses in the past that have come out to be stallions, and everybody's, you know, gripped with waiting, with anticipation and big hopes for them, and they just are okay, you know. This guy, all of them can run. I'm not saying that all of them are going to be champions, but there's none that I have of the six that I'm training that, you know, I'm calling the owners to tell them, look, you know, we're going to have to wait. Maybe we need to follow this, that. I mean, they're all straightforward. They're all very intelligent. They all have speed. You know, they all possess natural ability. Now, what they unfold out to be, you know, the future will tell. But at least they're all, every, all six, you know, have looked to have great promise.
Interesting. I mean, and then size-wise and in terms of scope, you know, I think a lot of people expected that, you know, that they were going to be two-turn types and that they might not be precocious.
Not mine.
Well, that's true. That's true no matter what you get.
Yes and no. I'll tell you, I've got something that, you know, I'm having to wait on and, you know, give time to. But these guys are all, you know, until they tell me no, and we're moving forward.
I love it. Well, Tessarina today, Joe Bravo is going to ride, and out of Nonsuch Bay. And then I suppose since we're talking, before we talk about Lady Pauline, let's actually review, you know, some of the other two-year-olds so far, because you got a handful in at Keeneland today as well.
Yeah, I've got a couple big chances here as well. Really, really, you know, have always had high hopes for a filly named Nyabeth. Dr. Ramon Talaj is flying in today from New York. He's a New Yorker to watch the race. His great friend, Joel Rosario, that's how I got hooked up with him, is going to ride. And, you know, we have big hopes for her. She's had some outstanding breezes, meant to run on opening day in the first race. Unfortunately, she drew the also eligibles and there were no scratches.
Right.
So, you know, she's been backed up till now. Her subsequent breezes from that scratch have been tremendous. So I've really looking forward to her. You know, she's breaking out of the one hole, which is a great post, but you know, she gets off a step slow, can be compromising. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm really, really looking forward. Very intelligent filly, easy, laid back, and has got a lot of speed and a lot of natural talent as well.
Yeah, Wesley, you look at the workout tab, 34-3 and 34-2 from the gate.
But it's how she did it that was impressive. It's not like it was a,
wow,
you know, a driving 34-2, which I don't,
wow,
do with my horses. She did it all well within herself. You know, we broke her off with 3-4 lengths behind another horse, and she just kind of clocked them, and then she just eased on by them. So it was, it's kind of scary to see what she would do if we would, you know, if you put the throttle down, which she's never done with her. So, you know, she's a lovely filly, just a beautiful horse, with a great temperament. And, you know, we're very, very hopeful for today and then also for her future.
You know, she's also bred, being a Carpe Diem, and she's out of a Coronado's Quest mare, Le Relais. Stone Street bred her, a $230,000 Phasic October purchase. And so, I mean, she's actually bred to stretch out, too, I mean, on paper.
Yeah, we're going to, you know, see how this race goes and then make a plan from here. Like I said, she isn't,
wow,
one that you would say is just a, you know, quarter horse type you're looking for. She looks like she's, you know, of course we're looking to Royal Ascot with all these that I'm bringing out. Just a fantastic place. And it's in Keeneland. And hopefully Aqueduct is going to be a great starting point for them.
How about the other one today, Owlette, a Frack Daddy filly?
I think, you know, ability-wise, you know, I've been singing the praises of Naya Best, but Owlette has a big chance. She's very smart filly, done everything right. She being an Ontario sired two-year-old, where if we do get beaten today, you know, at least she's going to have the experience of a race to where she can jump up and go into the Ontario sired maiden or hopeful stake races up in,
sure,
in Canada. But I have her in there just in case something happens with Naya Betts. She's right there to pick up the pieces.
Huh, I love it. Let me also look at the horses in the third race earlier on the card. Let's Stay Positive. This is a Palace Malice filly. Oh, you scratched. All right.
Yeah.
And that leaves you with Chili Petten.
Yeah. Again, very, very talented filly. Has had some big works. Smaller type-ish filly. Gatewood Mail, my great friend, bought her. And he's picked out horses, you know, with similar physiques in the past. When I first get him, I'm kind of scratching my head as to what he's seen. And she's similar to a filly I used to train for him named Sweet Emma Rose. Little small filly. And she went on to run second to Queen Mary and be a multiple stakes winner. And sold for a big price, and he's just amazing in how he's picking out these yearlings. And they, you know, as soon as I go to work in them, they can run, you know, just like you'd want to see.
You know, and I'm just looking. This is a City Zip out of the Dynaformer mare Cat's Claw, who was a nice sort of turf miler, I think, if I remember.
Mile and a half. She won.
Mile and a half. There we go. All right. So this is a horse that we'll see on the grass down the road, no?
Our next start will be on the turf.
There you go. All right. That's that you would think. City Zip. But she was a nice purchase, $32,000.
Was it? Yeah. Like I said, the guy's just...
how about that?
Uncanny how you can pick these type of horses for... you know, it says a lot to his eye.
I love it. Well, I mean, there's so many we could talk about. And, you know, I should mention that Naya Beth that you mentioned in the fifth is a half to Soldat. So there's plenty to look forward to from her. You mentioned Ascot. Let's talk about last week and Lady Pauline. That was just a absolute running to form type that got everybody excited immediately early in the meet.
Yeah, she's, you know, as you know, she's a half to Lady Aurelia. So there were always big expectations. She's was a little different starting out training. Lady Aurelia took some time, you know, to kind of come around. Couple of first two works she had, she was outworked by you know, her workmates. And then the start before she ran, that's when the light bulb clicked, and I breezed her here at Keeneland, and you could see what we had. You know, we didn't know how good she was going to be, but you really knew. I knew exactly what I had then when she breezed. This filly, from day one, when Ian Brennan sent her down from Stone Street, first work, the boys were just sitting right against her. I could tell that, you know, the natural ability she had, just like she showed in her races. You know, she's got big boots to fill if she can go over to Ascot and do a similar career path that her sister took. But that's the goal. That's what we're planning to do. So, you know, hopefully she can come through for us.
Well, certainly debuted with Panache and got people excited and looking ahead. Let me look ahead to one more American Pharoah coming up in New York. American Pharoah's colt with Richie's Party Girl and, of course, Richie Raven. This looks like this could be an exciting baby.
Sure is. He's been a great guy, great owner for me over the years. He's my great friend Larry Rovelli's owner, He's had a lot of nice horses in the past, one being the mare, Richie's Party Girl. And, you know, hopefully I can come through for him. Unfortunately, the mare died shortly after giving birth to this guy. So this is what we got, and hopefully, you know, he's the one that named the horse, and the horse comes through.
Well, we'll watch for Maven. That's coming up on Thursday. And one more topic to hit, because you did win the Appalachian the other day with the Macomb Bullet. And a modest surprise, but this is a horse that always displayed, you know, some talent as a two-year-old. You had to be thrilled. Tyler Gaffalione booting her home on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm grateful to the Yeshidas. And certainly grateful that that she was given to me to train when she came, at, you know, right after the Breeders' Cup. Don McCormick, the agent that bought her for the Rashidas, recommended me to train her, and you know, we had I kept her in training here at Keeneland over the winter just because she was kind of going through a growing stage, and she was a little frail. And from Europe and running in the Breeders' Cup, I didn't really want to go down to South Florida, where I just thought the heat and the changing climate, you know, might sort of affect her, to where if we left her here in a similar climate there where she was born and raised in England, being here at Keeneland, and it really happened. You know, she had a nice first allowance level win at Turfway. I ran her against the boys in the stake, and she just didn't seem to run as well on the poly track as she did the turf. So we decided not to go to the Bourbonette, but kind of wait for the Appalachian, with long-range plans being, you know, the Guineas over in either Ireland, England, or France. But she ran such a good race the other day in a heavy-going soft turf. I just thought the Guineas were coming up just a little too quick for her, and the Yeshidas are planning on being at Ascot, so I think we'll pick there's three races over there, of which we'll pick one of the three and give her some time to get over this win and charge forward to the next one, and so that'll be our next.
Outstanding. The Macomb Bullet, the Irish bred, and Lady Pauline. You also ran a nice second in the Shakertown with Bound for Nowhere.
Yeah, it was kind of a tough loss. His main rider, Julio Garcia, just hadn't quite been feeling up the speed there throughout the winter, which he works, you know, 100% for me and only rides for me for the last 3 or 4 years, and he's probably the leading percentage rider in the country as far as win percentage is concerned. And So I made a judgment decision in talking with Julio that, you know, like golfers, if you're not out there playing, even though you're practicing every day, if you're not playing in the tournaments, you're just not quite on cue. And this being such a he's probably his last big year of being at his top, we thought we'd go with one of the boys that's been riding, and we picked Luis Saez to ride. And Louis when the gates open, you know, being 5.5 and especially trained by me, I think he just had in his mind that he was going to go, of which that horse has never been on the lead. And, we didn't have a straw on our path. We had a clean trip. Everything went well. But I think the horse just isn't used to, you know, going from flagfall to finish in front. I think that, you know, had Julio been on his game where he could have set back like he always does in his races and made that one big charge, take nothing away from the winner because he ran a huge race. He stumbled at the start and beat us on the squares anyways. But I just wish my colt could have maybe had a little bit easier go the first part to where he could finish strong the last part. And he came out of the race great. We're gonna probably go back with him on the day before the Derby at Churchill. And go more along with the way he's run in the past style, as far as coming from just a tad bit off of it and making a run, and see if he's up to going over again to either the King Stand or the Diamond Jubilee at Ascot.
Nice. So you're gonna have a full assault again this year. And before we wrap up, Wesley, I got a request from my friend Tony. He wants me to ask you about an update on Palace Duchess, who had a little bit of trouble, the horse that Steve Coffin owns, and your training. And is he gonna take the call for the second start?
Well, I'll tell you, it was real unfortunate. It was just a tough day for Steve. He brought all of his friends and family out. The horse went off 1-9 or 2-5, whatever it was. Looked like we were going into the race. We had a winner. Had some fantastic works leading up to the race at Turfway and also here at Keeneland. And they had just had a torrential downpour. Johnny B couldn't make the ride in, so he had a great substitute in Irad. But she kind of broke a step slow, and Irad had to kind of work his way around, which he did from that point, and she was just beaten on the square. But unfortunately, like I said, it was a real sloppy track. She got kind of cut up, you know, from the slop and kind of not being accustomed to that, so she's going to take a little time to get back to the track, to the races. So we'll see how it goes, but one thing's for sure, Steve's got a runner, that's for sure. That filly's a really, really nice filly, and he was my idol when I was a jockey as a kid, and I wish him all the success. I'm real, real thankful and grateful that he gave me this filly to train.
That's really nice. I love it. Well, Wesley, you got a lot going on, and we'll let you get back to it. I appreciate the update on everything, on Lady Pauline, and obviously an important number of starters coming out to here this week, including later today in the fifth race, obviously, Naabeth. I think everybody's going to want to tune in. Continued success, and we'll see you at Churchill next week.
Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it. And I'm real excited for the week. So hopefully, as you know, we need some racing luck.
You make your own luck. Wesley Ward, everybody. And the two-year-olds are coming in waves for Wesley in New York starting today. And, of course, Keeneland continues a pair today, the third and the fifth. And you got a nice insight from Wesley on the American Pharaohs and this Carpe Diem today. Naabeth on the rail looks very interesting. So looking forward to it. We'll stay right here because Pete Fornatal is standing by. He was listening in. He's taking notes because I'm sure he's going over to Royal Ascot as well. And so you may want to go over as a strapper for Wesley. He's got it sounds like he's going to have 15 or 20.
Well, I'm going to need an introduction, Steve, because I've not met Wesley in real life. And I did just receive word this week that my friends at Sky Sports Racing are going to have me as part of their Royal Ascot coverage. It's the kind of thing where the more USA horses that go, the more work I'll have. So that's just music to my ears about a large flotilla of Ward contenders at the Royal Meeting, eager to talk to him more about those and follow up on all the American participation. You know, it's a great meeting, and you know, you'll hear people say, oh, well, why would you go there when you can run for so much money at home? And I have some sympathy for that point of view, but I also have sympathy for the idea that it really depends on why you're in this business and why you race horses and what experiences you want to have. And for those who want to be part of undeniably one of the three, if not number one, best flat meetings in the world is the Royal Ascot meeting. Horse players have picked up on it, and it's definitely become a bucket list item for many. I only expect the popularity to increase in years. And owners, too, have had amazing experiences over there. I remember talking to Harlan Malter, part of the Buchero team, now standing in Florida, and just talking about what a great experience he had over there at the Royal meeting. It's really special, and I'm so excited to be part of the Sky Sports Racing coverage. Really, really good stuff.
Well, plenty of American participation, seemingly not just from Wesley Ward either, but Wesley really tipping a few of his hands, really, going in. And he could not have been more effusive about Naibeth today in that fifth race at Keeneland. The two-horse from the inside, the half-sibling to Soldat, who's been posting 34 and change workouts. Unbelievable. Amazing. So, looking forward. And today in New York, they get started. He's sending an American Pharaoh today and tomorrow. The American Pharaoh tomorrow is named Maven. And it is, you know what? It is Richie Raven. So it very well may be. It may
That's
be.
Amazing.
It could, because of the Chicago tie, it might be named for the one and only
Dave Gutfreund, who I am pleased to announce another fun thing happening. I didn't expect to put all these plugs in for myself. I thought we were talking grade one gamble today, but they're like softballs. I've got to hit them. Dave Gutfreund is going to be part of my broadcast team for this special charity contest I'm going to be working on with JK on Saturday. It's all to benefit the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. We're going to be doing the game on Derby Wars. We haven't nailed down the times of the last broadcast, of the live broadcast, but it'll be normal contest time, like last four, Aqueduct Keeneland, something around there. I'll tweet out all those details. You can spend $125 to play. The $25 there, no house cut. That money's all going right to the TRF. We're figuring it's going to be about a $5,000 cash game. And you can watch along, and I did confirm yesterday that Dave Gutfreund willing to join us for part or all of the broadcast. Look, you can love him, you can hate him, you can agree with him, you can disagree with him. I always want to hear what he has to say. So that'll be a lot of fun as well, and it's a chance to play in a cool contest and raise money for just a great charity. Been doing amazing work for decades now over at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Feeders with zero takeout, also, by the way, at $25 a pop, are going to be running Wednesday through Friday. You can get all the details at derbywars.com site. And when I know the deets of the live broadcast, I will send that out as well. I don't know, Steve, can I bother you for a 10-minute segment? You feel like coming on the air on Saturday afternoon and talking a little racing?
I'll be in Louisville, which would, you know, enhance, I suppose, the topic. Sure, I'm happy to.
Excellent.
Just
excellent. We're putting an all-star team together here. I very much appreciate it. And yeah, it's an exciting time of year. There's an awful lot going on.
Well, let's dial back to the weekend. And I, as Wesley was joining me, was telling everybody how the first place that I saw you in Hot Springs was in the parking lot at Cafe 1217. And I'm sitting there having lunch, and in comes Marshall. And it turned out he was finalizing arrangements for the catering for the 10-strike party. And he said, I got Pete in the car. So I came out. It was pretty funny.
The catering was excellent, and I told them it was so good. I'm going to make sure to mention on Steve Bick's show And yes, 1217 Cafe do a great job. It's just the attention to detail. Like anybody can make a smoked turkey slider, but what a difference it makes when they actually take the turkey breast and smoke it in-house, and you get those extra flavors there. And everything they did, I thought, was good. Of course, because of the rain, everyone who was there was in the tent, and we ripped through that buffet in a matter of a few hours. But it was great stuff. I mean, the 10 Strike crew, I mean, I thought I threw a good party at the Travers up in Saratoga, but the 10 Strike party really takes the cake. And of course, they were all floating on air after the performance of Warrior's Charge. I'd say a good portion of the people in the tent had a piece of that horse and got to enjoy that thrilling victory on Friday before the Let's Build an Ark Like Rains came to town. You wouldn't have known the weather outside, because in the 10 Strike tent on Saturday, the sun was shining bright.
Really, really nice. And I did have Brad Cox yesterday. We talked about Warrior's Charge. The one, as much as we envision Marshall as a dot the I and cross the T guy, I was shocked the other day after I looked up the figure, and I shared it with Brad on Saturday morning, and then I looked up Triple Crown nominations and was stunned that he wasn't Triple Crown nominated. I mean, that's one of those oversights that you just, I mean, $600, I'm telling, tell everybody, you know, if you've got a colt, a two-year-old, spend the $600. It is just silly not to. You just don't know. And, you know, not that he necessarily would have, you know, been destined for the Preakness, but after that performance and a 98 buyer, you'd have to at least think about it.
I imagine if he had it to do over again, that's one he'd like back. And it could be a mistake that's very easy to quantify. Let's say he runs back at Oak Lawn on, I don't know, no inside information here, but let's say he were to run
on
a closing day and run off the screen again, it could be a $200,000 mistake, because then that would be the price to run in the Preakness. But I don't know. I would imagine they will look at him and look at his pedigree and plot a course, even if he continues to build on the promise, which he may very well do. I would think a race like the Haskell might be very interesting for a horse like that. Mm-hmm. That's a mile and an eighth that sometimes plays a little more like a mile and a 16th, which we already know he can get. So they'll come up with something. But, yeah, I would imagine that's one they'd like back.
Well, the weekend, whether it was at Keeneland and online, had a nice variety of contest options, and you had some very notable performers. Let's get into the recap from the weekend.
Absolutely. We'll start off with the Spring Keeneland Challenge on Saturday. That one drew a record number of entries, 283, and a player I've had the privilege of sitting near in the green room at previous Keeneland contests got the job done, Pat Stitch of Chicago. Final bankroll of just over $6,500, and Wyatt Rosette, a player I do not know, ended up in second place. So Pat gets the BCBC berth, as well as another $4,500 in prize money, and Wyatt gets a berth to the NHC next year and $2,500. And that was sort of the appetizer to the big Sunday contest, where a name we've seen a lot since he started playing contests circa 2017, Farron McCubbins, got the job done with a big, bold play in the last race. The Mount Washington, Kentucky native hammered the Exacta there that came back $28,000 plus, final bankroll over $31,000. And for that, he gets $35,000 extra in prize money, plus a BCBC, plus an NHC. I had the pleasure of speaking with Farron yesterday, going to have a segment on this new Keeneland Select Players podcast that I'm working on. You can find it in the Money Players podcast feed. Great talking with him. Such an interesting player, naturally aggressive. Not somebody, in this case, he did hit the big thing in the last race. His bankroll had gotten down to 400 two races before. He ran that up to the 6,000 that he ended up making the winning play in. But he's somebody who fires early, fires in the middle, and fires late. And that kind of aggressiveness, as we've seen, can be particularly strong in live bank play. And that's why now this guy who really has only started, the farthest he goes back is 2016. And he's now got a Keeneland contest, a Del Mar contest, and a Belmont contest. These are important events, and he's won three of them. There's not too many in that time who have better resumes than Farron McCubbins. And just, you know, nice guy, horse owner, was in on Bullard's Alley, has had a bunch of horses with Tim Gleishaw over the years, mostly lower-level claimers, but Gleishaw's proven time and again that he knows what to do when he gets a good one, too. So it was just interesting to talk to Farron and how he